Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the first chapter of Mark's gospel, the 9th verse through the 15th verse. As I read these words, maybe listen for something new that's being spoken into your life through them. Some of these verses we've heard before this year, back on Baptism of the Lord Sunday, but the text is to be heard as a whole. So, verses 9 through 15. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beast, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay. Hear these numbers again. Try to just fathom these numbers. Okay. There is a Shinto shrine in Tokyo that welcomes over 3 million visitors a year. There is the Azure Clouds Temple, a Taoist holy place in China that receives over 7 million guests per year. There's a Hindu pilgrimage center in southern India, 10 million visitors annually. But these are even dwarfed by Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Mexico City, where the Virgin Mary is believed to have appeared in the 16th century. Estimates for annual visitation to this basilica, 20 million folks a year. 55,000 people every single day make their way to this spot. The point is, religious pilgrimages are common. They always have been, and massive amount of people make a pilgrimage to find meaning for their lives. As best we can tell, in our own tradition, the Christian tradition, people have been making pilgrimage since the very early years, at least since the early 3rd century, but probably longer. Well, for the past 5 years or so, I have used a small book by a Benedictine monk, Albert Holtz, to help guide me through the Lenten season. The book is entitled this, Pilgrim Road, A Benedictine Journey Through Lent. It's a well-written book, and I have found it most helpful for me personally. And Holtz uses a pilgrimage metaphor to order both the book and the season of Lent. He writes this at the beginning. In the Middle Ages, long before modern transportation, millions of Christian pilgrims endured grim hardships and physical dangers on their journeys to holy places, to fulfill some pilgrim vow, to ask a favor, or to give thanks. Such a trip could take months or even years and would often leave the returning pilgrim changed forever. Now, my takeaway from this statement and from this book and my own experience of life is that any journey that adds to the depth of our living requires a certain amount of work, a certain amount of sacrifice on our part. I think most of us understand that. Last Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, the first day of the liturgical season of Lent. On Wednesday, we began a 40-day period of introspection and self-reflection. In essence, we began a 40-day pilgrimage, a 40-day journey to Easter. And the goal of this pilgrimage is to find a way to grow in our faith. That's the point. You know, the Lenten pilgrimage, the 40 days of Lent, symbolize for us, the church, the 40 days that Jesus spent fasting and praying in the desert, in the wilderness. And we all know that's a great metaphor for us because we've all spent some time in the wilderness. Maybe we spend most of our lives in the wilderness. It's very familiar to us. And during this time, we're trying to find a way out. Not just in a different place in the wilderness. We're trying to find our way out this Lent. So there the danger is. There's the danger of temptation. How do we move forward constructively during these 40 days? Friends, Lent, as far as I can tell, is not just something that we try to figure out cognitively, you know, coming to a new understanding of life. That's not good enough. No, Lent is about beginning to live in new patterns and new ways. So last Wednesday, we began the journey together. It's a familiar journey. We do it every year. And here we are again. It's a tough journey. It's a journey into self. And that's always hard. 40 days. 40 days, a season of spiritual renewal that can and will transform us. Jesus put it this way. We read this back at the call of the first disciples. Jesus said, follow me. The fishermen were going about what they always do, what they had always done. But they dropped that. And they went with Jesus. They went somewhere new. Wasn't easy. It was a little bit scary going somewhere new. But it was worth the risk. Because they knew it was riskier to do nothing. To go nowhere. So off they went. And that's where we are today. Again, Lent. The call's gone out. We've responded. We are here. It's a little bit unsettling, as it always is, because it suggests to us that we still have further to go. We have not arrived. We've got to do this again this year. And maybe, just maybe, we're being forced this season to wrestle with the possibility that we're not the people we need to be. Maybe we've gotten a bit too comfortable with who we are. And this call, this Lenten call, stirs up a sense of uneasiness that maybe we need to be more. That's troubling. That's troubling. Last year, Joe Iovino, who works for the United Methodist Publishing House, made a list of 10 practices that he believed can make Ash Wednesday more meaningful for us. You know, I like the list. And since I shared it last Wednesday, I've had people contact me saying, tell me the list again. Tell me the list. So I'm going to share it with you again today. Because I don't see it just as an Ash Wednesday list. It's a Lenten list. So here we go. 10 ideas to make our Lenten season, our Lenten journey, more meaningful. And Iovino introduces the practices with these words. They help us find ways to remember the holy in the midst of our routines. And that's really it. That's the trick. That's the Lenten challenge. To begin to see our world and our lives through a lens of holiness. Okay, here are the 10 practices for you to consider. Number one, worship. You've done it. You've done it. Check number one off your list. You've done it. You know, to gather intentionally as the body of Christ. And I would take it even further. You know, I would take it beyond just a Sunday gathering. You know, I don't make a distinction between life and religion. It's the same thing. You live what you believe. So what I encourage you to do is to get together with other folks. Share your life. Share your hardships, your trials, everything. What's going on in your life? Share it. Two, serve during this Lent. Serve others, not yourself. Serve others. It can be simply as helping your neighbor carrying groceries. If it snows, shovel the walk with them. It can be helping at karaoke parties at your church. See Ashley after the service. It can be help at the school, at the hospital, at the library, whatever. Help. Serve somebody. Number three, give. Give to your church. Give to a relief agency. Give to a school, to a stranger in need. And it doesn't matter where you give, the formative part is the act itself. The goal is to find a way to enhance this world. So give. Number four, abstain. Fast. You know, give something up for Lent. Now, don't limit yourself to food items. Don't limit it to stuff you don't like. You know, that's too easy to give up liver and onions again. You know, Julie? Okay. No, try something new. Give up pettiness. For 40, give up snarkiness. Give up road rage. If you were here last week, I had to share an incident I had. So I'm giving that up. I'm giving that up from here on out, maybe. I'm going to try. Give up defensive attitudes. Give up anxiety if you can. You know, give up complaining. Abstain from something. Five, pray your day. That's kind of a monastic sort of idea. In other words, be mindful. Be mindful of things. I drive by Rex Hospital a lot. I go to Rex Hospital a lot to visit folks. But every time I drive by there, I think that place is full all the time. All the hospitals here are full all the time. People suffering, people dying, families torn apart. Pray for those folks. You don't know them. That's okay. Just be mindful of that. You know, maybe you're thinking of a friend, acquaintance years ago. Write them a note. Send them a text. Pray for them. Number six, make something. Be creative. Bring order to the disorder. Reduce the entropy of the universe for just a moment. You know, I said this morning when I got here early. I heard beautiful piano being played down the hall. I went down and Chris is just down there playing something. I thought, what a beautiful offering to this world. Just music. You know, maybe you play the piano. Maybe you sing. Just give that to the world. You know, maybe you can paint something, draw something, plant something, but make something. Okay, number seven, be still. Practice settling. Just stop. Don't be productive for a moment. Just ground yourself in the sacredness of living. I said on Wednesday night, drink more coffee. But then I thought, well, that kind of gets you wired up. Okay, don't do that. Drink more green tea. Okay, eight, clean something. An old drawer, the garage, the pantry, whatever. Use the time as a metaphor for your living. Get rid of clutter. Number nine, burn something. Iovino says that, quote, when you finish cleaning, take some of the papers that you no longer need to the fireplace. Light them and watch them burn to ashes. It's liberation. Just let it go. Number 10, and final, forgive and seek forgiveness. Make amends with others. Remember the prayer? Ancient prayer. Forgive us just as we have forgiven others. I always leave that part off because that's a tough prayer to pray. Water the seeds of grace in your life. Forgive and seek forgiveness. Okay, there you go. That's 10 practices. Something to kind of guide you over the next 40 days. So, just quick, what did you give up? TV? Soft drinks? Meat? UNC basketball? That's what I gave up. It was a big sacrifice, but I did it. Oh, yeah, no, okay. Friends, Lent is bigger than that. Bigger than that. Lent is a time during which we acknowledge that in many ways our lives are a mess. And unfortunately, it's a self-made mess a lot of the time. Lent is a time during which we begin to straighten out the mess. It's a season during which we seek out and pursue real and sustainable, that's the key word, change. What is it in your life? What is it that threatens the order of your soul? You know, I see this account from Mark's gospel today, those verses that I read at the beginning, as kind of a template of sorts for our lives. You know, think about it. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. There's nothing in Mark's gospel really before this. Jesus just shows up on the scene. Obviously, he's heard a call. He's felt that urge, that uneasiness in his life, and so he has to go. He has to respond, and so he goes to John the Baptist. And then, that's not good enough. He's driven out into the wilderness. He's driven into a time of discernment, 40 days. And the goal is, as is our goal today, in this time of discernment, that's where we find ourselves. And the hope is that we, like Jesus, will return from the wilderness with a renewed spirit, with a renewed sense of direction and purpose for our life, with a new song in our hearts. And the song goes like this: the time is now, grace is at hand, believe. Now friends, I'm extremely excited about this Lenten season because Lent always gives me an excuse. It gives me cover to make change. You know, it gives me cover because when friends I've had for years prior to my entrance into the clergy, people still can't believe that I am clergy, it gives me a cover to say, look, the church makes me do this every year. You know, I don't like it. It's kind of a hokey thing, giving up something, but the church. So what I'm thinking of you, if you have ways you want to change, and you're thinking, well, people are working to give me a hard time, you know, why are you doing this? Well, this is your chance to blame it on Jay. Blame it on the pastor. He makes me do it. I don't like it any more than you do, but I've got to do it. So that's my Lenten gift to you. Thanks be to God. Amen.